worst I've seen.
What's going on?
Oh, the humanity.
This is insane.
I'm in fear for my safety.
Look at it.
Five.
It's coming this way.
I can't believe it's come to this.
Four.
Is anybody hurt?
Somebody do something.
Make it stop.
Three.
I can't look away.
No. No.
Get out of the way.
Two.
Get down.
Take cover.
It's here. It's here.
And now, we bring you your weekly waste of time, featuring Crisco.
I am made of lightning!
Mickey.
Such a bad idea.
And Lazy E.
This is my Barbie house.
Okay.
My Barbie dream house.
It's the best mistake ever made. Welcome to a freak accident.
Let's go!
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
Hooked on a freak accident. Come on, you let me go there. That's where you abandoned me.
Yeah.
Welcome to a freak accident. My name is Crisco. I am the host of this very, very unfortunate program. And of course, I am joined by my left hand man. Because you're sitting on my left.
Okay, I'll be that.
Lazy E.
Weird thing is, left was always my favorite side. I'm right handed. I never got it.
Huh.
When I was little, I don't know why I picked left, and my favorite number was five.
Because your crooked eye was on the left.
No.
You had better vision on that side.
Maybe. I had 20/20 vision.
It was like a periscope. You know what I mean? You could see out the side of his head. And Mickey's also here as well. Hi, Mickey.
I have no idea what's going on today.
You never will.
I guess not.
How long have you been doing this with us now? You're still trying to make sense of things?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That's not what you're supposed to do. Not a smart idea.
No, I'm really confused because I'm in the wrong seat again.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to say, you know, it's sad. This is our first episode without Ian Hunter. He has moved on to much bigger, much better things than this program.
WBNLN or whatever it is.
Not until, you know, wait until we conquer the world. Yeah. Egg's going to be on his face.
Yeah, when we own his company, then we fire him.
That's very vindictive.
Tough.
You hold a grudge, don't you?
I do. I hate him now.
But it makes me sad looking down at our board here, our mixer, and seeing the empty microphone slot.
Aw, that is sad. I didn't notice that.
I'm going to have to move Mickey's plug over to that one just so I feel a little bit more filled in.
I think that's more your OCD kicking in.
It's definitely that, yeah. By the way, our website is afreakaccident.com. Send us an email, freaks@afreakaccident.com. If you're at the website browsing around, learning about the show, click connect on the menu bar and you will find links to everywhere you can find us on social media. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. Follow us because the show keeps going on Twitter and on Facebook. We're always posting stuff, looking for listener interaction, looking to hear from you. And do not forget to find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, wherever podcasts are downloaded. Subscribe, whatever method you use to get to this show. And if it is iTunes, though, which I hope it would be, because that's kind of the
gold standard.
It's the Hollywood Walk of Fame of podcasts.
Yeah,
really. It's the standard bearer for right now. Who knows? Google Play Music may usurp it one day. But as for right now, iTunes is the be-all, end-all. It's a word. Look it up in the dictionary.
Look at you, fancy pants.
Subscribe there and leave us a good review. Every good review helps us climb a little bit higher in those beloved charts, and we would appreciate your help with that. And we're glad that you are here for this episode. I mean, at this point, I shouldn't even say that it's an awesome show lined up, because it always is, but
yeah,
it's an awesome show lined up.
Yeah,
that's why you're here this time and next time and the time after that,
we hope. But we're gonna kick it off with something the best. Well, we hope.
You really have an interesting standard when it comes to best, my friend.
And especially because I've tried this. Back in the 92, I remember this.
Mickey, where were you in 1992?
I think I just smashed my face off a rock.
You smashed your face off a rock?
Mickey, that explains more than just about anything when it comes to you.
Doesn't it?
All that I want is a crystal Pepsi. Yeah, you know it's true.
You know, this song lied to me. This is false advertising. Yeah. I feel like I should sue PepsiCo.
I'm gonna sue you, Crystal Pepsi. I'm gonna sue you.
You promised it was all I wanted, and as a matter of fact, it is not at all what I wanted.
Now, Crisco, do you remember trying this at all?
I don't think so.
I clearly remember it. Do you, Mickey?
I don't think so.
You gotta remember, in 1992, I was 3.
Oh, God. My God. I mean, I wasn't old, but I mean, I was 10 almost. I was 9. Yeah, I was 9 years old.
Hey, with Ian gone, I'm back to being the baby of the show again.
Ugh.
You suck.
Ah, the youthful side of the table feels pretty good.
Get ready to try a little old fashioned terrible. This is gonna be out. We're gonna if you didn't know, Crystal Pepsi came back. It's in the stores.
Is there a reason for it? Like Ecto Cooler came back because the Ghostbusters movie. Blink 182 came back because I don't know, they were bored. Is there a reason this is back?
They had a campaign running for years to bring it back.
Why? It's the worst soda ever.
Well, you don't know that yet. You will find that out. But
I've heard from people that I trust that it's the worst soda ever.
I guess some people like it, and it was just an ongoing thing. That or they forgot, and it's kind of like hindsight.
You know what we should bring back is the spicy chicken Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell. I will never let that go. They took that away. That was the best thing on their menu, and I've hated them since.
Murderer's upset about that, too.
The spicy chicken Crunchwrap Supreme? Yeah. See? I have solidarity with Murderer.
I still love you, Taco Bell. I'm going to open this up. Hopefully it doesn't spray everywhere.
Was it, like, rolling around in your trunk? All right, good.
That was so sad.
We're good.
He's looking at me while he's doing it like he's like, this is going to end in disaster. I don't know if you
it was
just going to explode like dynamite.
All right, I'll give myself a little bit, a little taste of that joy.
I'm going to do it not over the audio board. This is very expensive.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Ah.
It's like a fine wine. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's like bubbly champagne.
Okay, that's way more.
Oh, no, you're drinking it all.
No, I'm not.
Let me put the cap back on because God knows that could be terrible. We're going to try it all at once.
I feel like tonic water is going to taste better than this.
Now, in Boston, where they call soda tonic, is that like tonic? Is that like a double negative kind of thing?
Yeah.
Wait, they don't call it pop there?
No, some areas do.
Okay.
It just all right, depends.
Cheers.
Wait, smell it first. Give it a smell.
Are we doing that, the bouquet?
Yeah, you got to get the bud.
Smells like Sprite.
Yeah. It doesn't taste like Sprite.
Great.
Cheers.
Cheers,
to
everyone.
To the future and listener to you as well.
It actually kind of does taste like a watered-down Sprite.
What I always equate it to, it tastes like...
Man.
If you took Pepsi, put ice in it, and then dumped water in it.
it's
pretty much.
It's almost like flat.
It's Pepsi that's been flat for days. Mm-hmm. It's just been sitting on my windowsill, and now there's dust and a dead fly in it. That's what it tastes like.
And I haven't drank soda in a while, so this is like a double hit on me
right
now.
Oh, boy. He may die before the end of the show.
He just drinks coffee and whiskey now. Right?
Yeah, coffee and whiskey, the healthy choice. That's right, kids.
At the same time, uppers and downers, it levels me out.
How do you think I get this radio voice? About a pack of cigarettes a day and a thing of whiskey. No, they
a thing of whiskey.
A thing shows you how much of a drinker I am.
In the old days, whiskey came not in casks or bottles, it came in things.
Yeah, that was a unit of measurement at one point.
You know, like in, what is it, Norway or whatever, they measure thing in stones, right? They drink in things.
Now,
12 things of whiskey.
One thing you'll notice as you drink it more, you get more of an aftertaste. And it just starts hitting, like, breathe in afterwards.
What that tells me is it's ruining my throat.
Yeah.
That was me breathing, by the way.
I thought it was gold dust.
Oh, I'm gold dust. This is not a good soda.
No.
It's soda.
Oh,
yeah.
There comes the burps.
I don't drink soda that much either.
You see, I don't mind soda. I just cut it out because of the health reasons. It's just
water or alcohol in my case, literally. And that's not even me joking. Those are the
only
two things I drink. And coffee.
I know. I live on coffee.
You see, I'm totally jonesing on the new Snapple Apple.
Yeah, we have that at
work. That thing is fantastic.
I haven't heard about this.
It's a new apple flavored Snapple, and I'm not kidding you. You take a sip. It tastes like you're biting into an apple.
Ooh.
It's so good.
Now I gotta try that. I wonder if they have it at the gas station down the street.
They have it everywhere now.
Really? Yeah. They have it. So if I went to the bookstore, they'd have it?
Now you're just being a jerk.
You said everywhere. Hey. I'm putting your theory to the test.
Jerk store called. They ran out of you.
That's okay. You're their highest selling product.
Ah! Well, that was just immature. Stop being immature.
Continuation of the joke.
You're an immature. And immature, that's right. So welcome to what you could have lived like when you're in the 90s.
Yeah, nah. Well, the 90s were a great era overall. This was not part of that greatness.
No, no, it kind of fell flat like the soda.
Yeah, like it tastes. Listener, don't bother with that. Ecto Cooler, though, I've been drinking that like it's going out of style because I honestly don't know how long it's going to be back for.
Oh, you know what? No, it's going to stay. It's going to stay for as long as it's making money now.
Yeah.
They're going to milk this as long as they can.
Oh, man. If I find out that they're going to discontinue it, though, I'm going to stockpile it. Just keep boxes and boxes. I don't think so.
Crisco will be buying stock in Ecto Cooler.
Yes, I will. And I will be the only person who owns stock in Ecto Cooler. They'll be fine.
And you're going to be bankrupt because they're going to go out of business.
Doesn't matter, but I'll have it.
You'd be the only person to buy stock when they said they're going to stop making it.
I'll be homeless. I'll be sitting on a sidewalk with a sock that has a hole in it that my toe's sticking through. And I'll just be clutching my framed stock options in Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, and your heart attack that's coming shortly afterwards.
Doesn't even matter at that point. I will be able to die happy.
You will.
I own stock in the greatest product ever invented for drinking.
Okay, I was going to say, not the greatest product ever invented.
That would be what, in your opinion?
Huh. That's a good question. I never really thought of that answer.
Plunger.
Didn't really.
She said plunger.
That's not the greatest. That's just a necessity. That is life for me.
You're getting skinned for that one. That's amazing.
And yes. On the occasion, on the rare occasion, not really rare, the snake.
Oh, you need
the snake. Sometimes the plunger isn't good enough. The snake is needed. Come on.
He calls it Cobra Commander.
you would name it.
If you feel like I do, listener, freaks at afreakaccent.com, show me some solidarity.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, did we say that we were gonna? If you email us,
this is what you gotta.
Yeah, we were also gonna point this out, and we'll mention this before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show.
You answer one of our questions. It's simple.
Yeah, or send us an email for any reason.
How you found us?
If you include your address, we'll send you a free sticker. Free.
Oh, we're doing that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
F-R-E-E, my favorite four-letter word.
Yeah. Just include your address in your email when you email us. We will mail you a free sticker.
Stickers.
They're awesome stickers. You've seen them on
the
Instagram page.
What just happened? Did I just have a Mickey freak out there?
Yep.
Yes.
Stickers! In your ears.
When we start doing commercials, it's going to be like, you know, order now and we'll throw in a free sticker. And it's just going to be her going, stickers!
God. You sound like that one, what was it, the SNL character, I think. Oh my God. It was Chris Kattan when he played the girl.
Maybe.
You don't remember when he would go, I just need some makeup.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stickers! Wow, Chris Kattan reference. You only get that on a freak accident.
That's literally it.
That's all he ever gets.
You've reached the end of reality. I hope you're happy. On today's show, we've got a great thing lined up. It's a thing worth of content.
Yeah, thing worth of content.
Just remember, if you think of that in terms of it's equatable to leaders, it makes sense.
No.
We've got the Olympics are in full swing. I don't think anybody's died from bacterial infection yet, but I don't want to count anything out. But we'll recap what's been going on with the Olympic Games in Rio. We've got a survey on where your taste in music comes from.
This really, like, made me think, because we all love music. It was very interesting.
It's like a psych evaluation.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn some deep, dark things about myself that I'm not willing to confront, aren't I?
I got a teddy bear for you. Just hug it hard.
Show me on the bear where music hurt you. We also have yet another round of Figure Out the Fall Premieres.
America's favorite television show.
On a podcast.
It's in the works. We're getting there.
Okay, all right. Yeah, well, we've got inroads all over the place nowadays. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. We've got some bizarre conspiracy theories about popular television shows.
This is unbelievable. We teased it at the end of last show. Just wait until you hear Fresh Prince.
And we've got a movie segment. Lazy E and I both saw Suicide Squad. I believe Mickey did too, actually.
Whoa!
Congratulations. Whoa! And we got some other movie-related things to talk about. The Ghostbusters movie is not doing well, and a trailer came out for a holiday favorite of mine.
Ooh.
That we will be recapping. All that and more, I hope, on the way in this episode of A Freak Accident.
And don't forget, at the end of the episode, something really big.
Wow, that's a tease for a tease.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
I heard him.
He's going radioception.
Get ready.
It's all on the way in a freak accident.
A freak accident. It's the best mistake ever made.
USA! USA! USA!
Can we stop?
It's in Rio this year.
Yeah, but we're cheering for America. That's the idea. I know it's in Rio. Believe me, everybody knows it's in Rio. All the athletes can think about while they're down there is the fact that they're
home.
Yeah, they're currently in Rio and they don't want to be anymore.
I really hope this person that's on my Facebook was being sarcastic. It was a couple days ago. He posted, "So who are you rooting for in the Olympics?"
You know, there are people who root for their country of their family's origin.
That's okay to root for them, but you also have to root for the USA.
Yeah, after America. You root for America first, and then you root for your national origin, whatever it is, of your family tree.
Yeah.
Same thing with the World Cup. They do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine with that, because, I mean, if we get eliminated, well, Poland's not going anywhere, so I don't have anybody.
Root for Germany at that point?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. Well, you will.
Sore subject.
Whether you like it or not.
Nope. Nope. We've been through that before. Fool me once. Fool me once.
But the Olympics are underway in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Did you like the fact that the water in the pool, did you hear about that? It turned color overnight.
Oh. Doesn't shock me.
It was clear and blue yesterday. All of a sudden, everybody wakes up today. They go down to the pool. It's murky green.
It's what algae does.
Yeah. So there's algae in the pool that's just changing the water color.
That happens.
It shouldn't happen at the Olympics, though.
Yeah.
And especially with what we know about Rio and the water situation down there, if I see green water, I'm not diving. It's not happening. Like, hey, guess what? I'll eat the medal, and you guys can just go on without me. That's fine. I'm going to go back to my bed that is not completely constructed yet and cry myself to sleep.
That's what got me worried at first when I saw those bumps on Michael Phelps. I was like, oh, God, it happened.
The leeches have got to him.
Then they said it was some sort of cupping technique that makes you get better.
Basically what it is it's like acupuncture, sort of. It's the same general principle. They use
It's like a suction cup.
Right. It's a glass cup, and they use fire to create a vacuum seal of the cup against your skin, and it, like, sucks on your skin. The whole thing is it's acupressure. They're trying to release hormones and cause neurological balance or whatever the voodoo is that they do.
Really the last thing you want to be doing in Rio, where it's just going to open you up to all sorts of bacteria.
Yeah.
The
guy going in the water.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was the crash test dummies. She had birthmarks all over her body.
That's a reference even I don't get.
You don't remember the crash test dummy?
Oh, right, the song. Yeah.
And they talk about birthmarks all over her body. And they show her, and she has those marks. Maybe she was just an athlete.
There you go.
Who would have thought
she was a serious athlete?
She was cupping.
I really wouldn't want to go in that water, though. I agree with you with those marks. Yeah, that's. You know where that water came from? It came from their taps. You know where their tap water comes from?
Their water.
Yeah, the polluted sewage that's floating in the bay. But we're doing great. Current United States medal count, as of this recording, is 28. 10 gold, in which we are in the lead by 1.
Woo!
9 silver and 9 bronze. Right behind us is China with 20 overall medals. They are right behind us in gold. They have 9. So we have 10, they have 9, and they have 3 silver, 8 bronze, and then it's Japan, South Korea, and Hungary. What's China, Japan, and South Korea? The Asian countries really take their Olympic sports seriously.
Oh, absolutely they do. This is their pride.
How is Russia not up there? I thought they were very serious about the Olympics, too.
A year off.
They do dope.
They're not competing, right?
The Russians?
Yeah.
No, they are. That's the whole thing, because there was a big to-do with the swimming competition because a bunch of Russians were kicked out because of doping.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I paint this picture of Rocky IV where they've got them in laboratories and they're just pumping them full of steroids, like mainlining it into their muscles.
I will break you.
Yeah, right. But for some reason, 8 of them were allowed back in, and nobody's explaining why. I know why. Bribes.
Lots of money.
Corruption.
Yep.
Corruption in Russia. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. There's some respectable people there. Maybe.
Who?
Putin, right? Sure. He's a good guy, right? Trump always says so.
Yeah, no, that is true. I'm surprised that they're not doing better. I don't know if they're... Maybe they are disbarred from the rest of the games, too. I don't know.
We'll have to look into that.
Well, we will have to look into that. Listen to me, the Mr. I know what I'm talking about.
Let's talk about the big story. Michael Phelps. That's the story.
Yeah, unreal. 21 now. He won two in the last night's competition. 21 career gold medals. 25 overall.
Yeah.
25 overall medals. I saw somebody on Twitter remark that Michael Phelps now has more gold medals than I have real friends.
Oh, my God. That's sad and true.
Think about it.
He has more gold medals than some countries accumulate in those same amount of years.
Think about this. We have been doing this podcast since January 1st, right?
Yeah.
He almost has as many medals as we have episodes.
Oh, man.
Think about that.
That's not fair.
No.
He's 31 years old doing this.
He alone does have more medals than some countries. How many medals do you think Luxembourg has, Mickey?
None.
Probably it's either none to one or two. He's got 25 total. 21 gold. Most decorated Olympian in history. Definitely the greatest swimmer who's ever lived.
One thing that was...
And at 31 years old. Yeah,
the one thing that was really crazy, they showed the side-by-side when he first started and now. The age, that's where it hit me how young he was when he started and where he's at now. It's like, whew.
My question is, wasn't he under suspicion for smoking pot or something?
Oh, yeah, no, but who cares? I don't get that. No, I gotta.
I just don't understand whatever happened to that. It just kind of, like, disappeared.
I got to talk about this because this happened in several Olympic sports, mostly in the winter. You see this a lot because they're snowboarders. Come on. But they're always like, well, you should disqualify him. They shouldn't get the gold because he's smoking pot. They should get the platinum. That doesn't enhance you. That slows you down.
It is a depressant.
So, platinum medal for them,
and
two golds.
It makes you eat more, and when you're all about staying lean and as aerodynamic as possible, you can't be chowing down on entire pizzas.
Actually, no, that's what Michael Phelps does.
Yeah, well, yeah, he does eat like thousands and thousands and thousands of calories every day.
He just eats. He eats and swims.
I mean, I think the rule is, too, I heard that now they will allow the athletes to smoke pot as long as they don't do it the day that they're competing.
Okay.
So
that makes sense with so many states and countries legalizing.
Yeah, and not to mention, like you said, it's not a performance enhancer.
Right.
So it doesn't really make a difference. Nope. Now, if you were on steroids or cocaine or something that's going to make you real, real fast, then that I could see, sure. But this, it's not that big a deal.
Michael Phelps won the competition and then he drank the pool. Oh my God.
He got that cotton mouth.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that at 31 years old, he's still outpacing these guys that are, you know, sort of half his age. You're talking just into their 20s and they can't keep up with him. He's still out there showing them up and everything else.
They're looking at him as the greatest Olympian of all time. We're talking about people like Jim Thorpe, who's previously viewed as that kind of an athlete. If you didn't get to watch any of his races, look it up online because you're seeing history. No one's going to be like him for a long time.
Dude's an animal. He's more comfortable in the water than I am sitting down.
Anywhere.
Yeah. He's more comfortable in the water than I am just pure existing.
He's a fish.
Yeah.
Let's just make that claim.
I do love, too, though, off the doping thing, because a couple of Russians were allowed back in. Lily King from the U.S. swim team, you saw her doing the finger wag thing, kind of doing the trash talk, and she ended up in the pool with one of these Russians, and she took the gold over the Russian. The Russian took silver. Yeah. Steroids can't hold down the American dream.
So, just before we go on, big apology to all our out-of-country listeners.
Yeah, there are international listeners of this show.
So, sorry about that.
Listen, it's once every 4 years we got to draw these lines and be like, y'all suck. USA, USA.
I wouldn't say suck. We're just better.
No, y'all suck!
We're better.
Yeah.
We're better than you.
Right.
That's fine.
You suck comparatively.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad.
I feel like this is why the international listeners listen to us.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Hatred?
They wish they were us.
Fueling the fire? We're giving reasons?
We're like a portrait of everything wrong with this country?
Exactly.
Okay.
There it is.
I knew I was going to get to it eventually.
Yep.
The core, the seedy core of Mickey's joke.
Yeah, of all the countries that have terrible problems with food and famine. Here we are drinking a Crystal Pepsi and we're going to throw it out afterwards.
The U.S. women's gymnastics team, they just cleaned up shop the other night. There wasn't even another country in the competition by the time they got done.
That's right.
I don't believe, what I don't understand is I see these girls do their flips and everything else. They land and they stick every move they do. And by that, what I mean is normally when a gymnast, because my sister was a gymnast, so I used to watch her gymnastics competitions all the time. They do a flip over the vault, they jump off the bars, they're doing a floor routine or whatever. You do a flip, you land, a lot of times one foot will edge out to balance.
Yeah.
There might be a little hop after you land to like catch yourself because you don't want to fall over. I have never, every single thing, they come off the bars, they go over the vault, off the beam, wherever they are. They land, they don't move. It's like their feet and the ground are magnets, and they're just drawn towards each other. They stick, and they don't flinch.
They stick it.
Every time, though. You used to see that every once in a while. It was always like a special thing when it happened, though. It was like, oh, man, what great technique. Now it's like, you are so good that it's not even fun to watch you anymore because you're so embarrassingly good at everything that it's like, oh, great. Where's the tension? Where's the excitement when there's no competition?
Embarrassingly good?
Yeah, because it's embarrassing to all the other countries because they don't even stand a chance.
What makes me sad for them is that this is their moment of glory. Before that, they had no life.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they did. But when I watch gymnastics, the only thing I think about is, you can do it, Kelly! Kelly! You can do it!
Right, yeah. Yeah.
She stuck it with a broken leg.
She did.
That's ridiculous.
America.
Yeah. We don't need bones.
And a couple of Eastern European trainers. That's all that you need.
Kelly!
How about some of these injuries, though, that we've been seeing, though? You see some of those?
Nope.
Speaking of broken leg.
Yeah. The French gymnast guy who was doing his vault, Samir Ait Said.
You can't do it, Samir!
He ran down, he went over the vault, landed, and his leg snapped like a pencil.
No. No.
The bone didn't shoot out the skin. No, probably thankfully. Should have.
No.
Do you remember a couple years ago that one basketball player who jumped up and he landed
ankle.
And his... Yeah.
Don't want to hear it.
The bone just went, hello.
It looked like a piece of wood.
Yeah. And he's just laying there like, I can't even feel anything.
I did. I loved his reaction because he looked at it, went, oh, that just happened. How's the ceiling doing? Okay. And nope, that definitely just happened. I'm just going to keep staring at the ceiling.
It's like he went into shock.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I have a tree growing out my leg. Nope, that's my bone. But this guy, his leg just snapped like a twig, and he's holding it, and he's like, ah! And it's just dangling there, and I'm like, oh my God! What were you going to say?
It gets better when they take him on the ambulance.
Oh, yeah, and they drop him?
Yep.
Yeah. They put him in the stretcher to take him, and then they drop the poor guy.
Rio.
But you know what, though? I was going to say, have you ever felt, like, phantom pain?
Yeah.
Like, you see something happen, and then you feel it in your own limb when you see it? I was feeling my ankles for hours after I watched that video. I'm walking around the hallways at work. I'm like, my bones are made of glass, and they're just going to shatter underneath me.
And I'm just going to hold it flailing.
Yeah.
What happened?
I can feel it in my leg. I'm like, they're just going to break. They're just going to break into 1,000 little pieces.
It's like when you hear a drill, like from the dentist.
Yeah.
And you're like,
And then there was Annemiek van Vleuten.
Easy for you to say.
A Dutch Olympic cyclist. Did you see that? She tried to take a turn too fast.
Oh, yeah.
Flipped over the front of the bike, landed on her face, tumbled, went over the curb, and was just laying there limp. I watched it. I was like, she's dead. She's dead.
That's pretty much what I did in 92.
You're 92.
Solidarity with the cyclist, Mickey.
Oh, man.
See, she should have been in gymnastics. She could have stuck that.
Multiple fractures in her spine.
Oh.
And a concussion. She broke her spine.
How's her hair do?
Why did... What?
You got to make sure your hair did's right. Getting all those pictures.
That was...
What?
She was in the lead, too, and she ate that turn. And I said, she just laid there. I thought she was dead. She looked like she died because her body just went completely limp. She wasn't breathing. I'm like, it's over for that person.
It would be great if the coach just picked her up. You have to win! Puts her up, cycles her legs.
like a puppet master?
Yeah. You're going to finish. It's the Olympics.
Now, how long do the games go for?
Till the 21st.
Oh, wow. So we got a good 10 or so odd days yet.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be doing this for a while.
Well, we're quickly pulling ahead of China, and I expect that rate to increase, athletes.
Hopefully.
Because we know they're over there listening to a freak accident right now between their training sessions. Yeah. Yeah, I expect to see triple-digit medal count by Wednesday.
Mm.
All right? It's going to happen.
Okay. Sure.
USA! USA! USA!
Look up A Freak Accident on Instagram.
You're so beautiful.
Get an exclusive peek inside the podcast with pictures and videos of our recording sessions and general tomfoolery. Not to mention, you can see for yourself that the face for radio thing is 100% true.
Do you have any idea how completely gross that is?
Follow us at A Freak Accident.
I do love music.
Everyone loves music.
This song makes me happy.
Of course it does. This is an old-time song, man.
It is.
It's the OJs. Prior to Killer OJ. Way prior to Killer OJ.
Yeah, that probably would have come up in their HR meeting.
Yeah. No, please.
Their publicist would have been like, we got to make some changes here. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to work anymore.
Probably had to make some changes if they sounded like that in 2016.
I don't know. I wouldn't hate it. It would be different.
I like it, but
better than current pop.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Biebs.
So this
awesome.
Is an interesting study from CNN. They were talking about this psychological study that was done. It was published in the journal Nature last month, which looked at where our taste in music comes from. Now, I think all of us here, pretty much, our favorite genre, would you say, is rock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. I like all kinds, but yeah.
I actually, when I say that, and I think you're probably similar to me too, when we say that, we mean we do like all kinds. Like, I like blues, I like jazz, I like reggae, you know, even some pop. Selective.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, sure. I mean, some of it's catchy and fun.
You learn to like it all.
Select country music, even.
A little Johnny Cash.
Depending what it is. Yeah. But rock is my favorite. I don't know what that says about me. But according to this article, it's our taste in music is almost entirely culturally based, apparently.
Okay.
It's not... They originally thought, scientists thought, that it was more so rooted in the brain, like how your brain is wired.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you're more heavily logical, you would naturally be predisposed to a certain genre of music. If you were more adventurous and extroverted, you would be more drawn to this genre of music, whatever the case might be. It is not that. They found that it's a lot more culturally based. And they found that by heading out into the wild, the Amazonian rainforest.
And they asked animals.
They did not. Don't you talk about these people that way.
I didn't. Don't put words into my mouth,
in
Crisco.
In northwest Bolivia, the Tisimane village. Tisimane? Tisimane?
That T probably doesn't even exist.
Tisimane? Yeah, probably doesn't. Yeah, you're probably exactly right. Tisimane? Well, so, whatever. The Tisimane village. These people are very, very secluded in where they live. Now, they're not like... they have technology, right? They have modern clothing and cars and things like
that. They're more walled in.
Yeah, they have very little exposure to the Western world.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. And so they went to them and they had them listen to different types of music to see what they liked, what they didn't like. And they asked them to rate the pleasantness of various sounds, kind of as a control, like they played for them, you know, people screaming in fear and people like laughing. And so what would you say is more pleasant? And of course, everybody thinks, you know, somebody screaming in terror, you know, screaming bloody murder is not going to be as pleasant as someone who's chuckling at a good joke.
Yeah, I'd be a little worried if I went over for a study on a remote island and they started laughing when they were screaming. I'd be like, see you guys.
Hey, I'm going to pack up my equipment and get out of here.
Sweet.
Yesterday. So, yeah, they ran through... asking the participants if they understood the task, you know, just to make sure everything was good. And interestingly enough, they found that in contrast to Westerners who rate consonant sounds as pleasant and dissonant sounds as unpleasant.
And what does that mean real quick? Just for
Mickey, could you explain that?
Consonant sounds are like your major tones, what you hear every day.
Okay.
That, you know, they're like your upbeat.
Okay.
And your dissonant is your kind of what you would use in movies to say that the, you know, the bad guy's coming along. Those off note.
Yeah.
According to this article, the combination of notes in classic chords of C and G often heard in pop music are considered consonant.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a good explanation from Mickey then.
Well, I'm trying to keep it not musically related because most people are going, what?
I'm going, what? I don't know. I don't know music theory. Yeah. I know what I like. I couldn't explain it like you could, though, you know, as
a musician. The best you're getting out of me.
That was pretty good, though.
No, that was good.
Yeah. So there's your explanation. We like the more upbeat pop sounds than we do like the deeper dissonant sounds.
Yeah.
Apparently, they liked both. Ooh. They thought both were equally pleasant. Now, I don't know if that's because of the fact that they don't have as much exposure to such a wide range of music as we do.
Yeah, they might just find it pleasant that they're hearing music.
Music, period, right, is probably enjoyable to them, no matter what it sounds like.
Yeah, when you're that controlled of an environment, you can't get too different. It's probably all the same. So it's like, oh, cool.
Did they play them any Slayer?
Probably not.
I want to know what they thought of that, being completely unexposed all of a sudden. You're getting that, and I want to. I would love it if they just got up and started headbanging, like without ever being just like, "Wow, metal is magic."
No,
unfortunately,
I think they just played them chords.
It probably
and
was
like in the notes to the chord. So you know,
maybe some basic chord progression.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, nothing. Not really songs or anything like that. But that is interesting, though, that they found. You know, it says therefore the new findings underscore the importance of examining various cultures around the world and their preferences to fully understand the art of music. And I find this fascinating because music really is the only language we all speak.
Well, yeah. When they built that space shuttle, to encase. Somebody finds us like an
alien. The Voyager spacecraft.
Yeah, and one of the first things they put in it was Mozart, because they figured they might not understand us, but music is so widely known that it has to be.
Yeah, every culture has music of some kind too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No matter how secluded from the world, you know, they still find tribes in the jungles and things that have never seen a car or any kind of technology, and they make music. Still.
Yeah.
So there's something in our DNA when it comes to music. I just think music is fascinating. So there you go. Maybe what this article is trying to say is don't be so picky.
Nope, I like being picky.
Yeah, me too. There's definitely some terrible music. If you would have played what's her face? All About That Bass. Who did that?
Oh, that's Megan
Trainor. Yeah, her or Iggy Azalea, these people probably would have taken the bridge. They would have built a bridge and then jumped off of it just to get away from those noises.
Should have played the Sweet Sounds of Bieber.
Abraham Lincoln once said, "Whatever you are, be a good one." Maybe we should rethink this show. You're listening to A Freak Accident.
It's time again for America's favorite game show. Figure out the fall premieres. And here's your host, Lazy Nick E.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? I'm trying to be nice today. How are you guys doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing fine.
Good.
I've taken some relaxers today. Mickey, how are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
You killed Ian, didn't you?
That's what I was worried about.
I'm just happy he isn't here. It's fantastic. So welcome to Figure Out the Fall Premieres. That's right, I get high and low. Medicine doesn't work too well. Let's introduce you to our contestants. The man with a plan that never turns out right. It's Crisco.
Yeah, that plan needs to be reworked a couple times.
Yeah, just a little bit. And the girl who watches as much TV as I watch unicorns in my backyard. It's Mickey.
So a lot?
Yeah. Come on.
That didn't make much sense then.
If you're new to the game show, here's how it works. I tell them a new show that will be on a network this fall. They have to guess what that show is about just by the title. It's that easy. You can play along too. And if you would like to take Ian's spot, please email us, because now we actually have an opening.
Yeah.
Email figure.
I hope you don't mind the blood-stained podium that's here either.
Okay, we can stop now. We can stop talking.
Somebody from forensics needs to come in here.
Yeah, they're going to have to come for you. You don't learn when you have to talk. It's that simple. All right. I don't even remember the network we're talking about today is NBC. Now, we had an eating competition in the back and Mickey won. It was pie.
Why is it always me?
She likes pie, everyone. Lots of pie.
You've got a strong jaw. That's why you were able to win that.
Yeah, but you have a loose one because you keep talking. You, the laughter. Stop. It's not funny. It's not funny. You know how to play. You ready to figure out the fall premieres?
Nope.
Our first show is Timeless. This is where you talk. Oh, God, just answer.
Give her a chance to think. It's fine.
Yeah, but that could take years.
This is a show about vampires back in the 1800s, and they bring it into modern day now.
Shockingly, that's closer than you'd expect.
Oh, wow, okay.
Closer than you'd expect, in a way. Crisco!
This is actually a continuation of the Back to the Future franchise, which Doc Brown remembers, hey, I used to collect clocks in my garage. And so he just rides around in the DeLorean and steals clocks from people. Zaniness ensues. Multi-camera comedy.
Again, you guys are at least hitting premise, I guess, kind of. You would think this show was actually about figure out the fall premieres, because, as you know, this show is timeless. But the show is actually about an unlikely trio traveling through time to battle unknown criminals in order to protect history as we know it. Point George Washington. That's right. All right.
Is he one of the time travelers?
I don't care. I do not care.
That actually sounds like an interesting show. I may want to watch that one.
It's interesting that you never learn when you're supposed to talk, you know?
It's interesting
you
that
can
you...
really stop it now!
You think I care. That's
hey!
Interesting.
Hey! You want to end up like Ian? You want to end up like Ian?
Not there you
that
go.
I, not
confirmed.
That I know, not that I know what happened.
Yep.
Not that I... What are you doing? Get the... You don't leave.
Door's locked.
You do not... You're damn straight it's locked. Crisco, you're up next.
All right.
The show on NBC that's debuting this fall is This Is Us. Can you figure out the fall premiere?
It's about one guy who just has multiple voices in his head, and he lives in a flat all by himself in England because I don't know why I said flat instead of apartment. But yeah, sure, he lives in an apartment all by himself and talks to himself for an hour a week.
That was actually the Randy Orton story. You are wrong. Voices in his head.
They talk to him.
I think they call them flats in England.
They do call them flats in England.
That's why you said it.
Yeah.
That's
but I
you hey, you're going to be flat if you keep talking. I'm going to flatten you with my car.
I live in America. Hey. It should have been apartment. I'm not a...
You what's the name of the show that I'm supposed to be trying to figure out?
Maybe if you shut up, you'd learn it. This Is Us. This Is Us is the name of the show. Can you figure out the fall premiere?
It's about a freak accident.
All right, I'll give you that.
The camera just looks at a picture of me and Lazy E on a mantelpiece.
This refreshingly honest and provocative series that follows a unique ensemble. As their paths cross and their life stories intertwine in curious ways, we find out that several of them share the same birthday and so much more than anyone would expect.
It kind of is a freak accident. Weird.
Winner, the show!
Yes!
By the way, Figure Out the Fall Premieres is sponsored by Fall. It's coming, people.
Hey, did you ever tell us what our prize is this week either? We don't even know what we're playing
for. We're getting to that. That sponsor is paying for this prize. And why don't you tell them what it is, Stan Roddy?
You have a chance to win one of those gross purple spots on Michael Phelps. We had special scientists carefully scrape the surface of his skin to remove these leeches and carefully numbered them to ensure the authenticity of this piece of sports history. This could be yours if you could figure out the fall premieres.
Now you're hoping that you win this, don't you?
I quit.
Nope, nope.
Oh man, I want Michael Phelps' skin so bad.
Ooh, we're going to save that audio right there.
We'll save it right along with stuff about how you killed Ian.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Moving on.
All right. All right.
Nothing happens.
Fittingly, Mickey, can you figure out the fall premiere that is called The Good Place?
Not this place.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Crisco.
It's about downtown Baghdad and the adventures that currently take place as the United States continues to bomb you with drones indiscriminately.
So it's an irony.
Yes. Well, it's a commentary on the current socio-political landscape.
You're actually going to be surprised. This answer might be weirder. The real answer is after she is struck and killed by a tractor. Wait for it. That's not the funny part. That shouldn't be the funny part. After she is struck and killed by a tractor trailer carrying erectile dysfunction products, a woman named Eleanor wakes up to discover she has entered the afterlife. But when she is told by her mentor, Michael, that she is in the good place because she did a good deed by helping an innocent person get off death row, she realizes that a mistake has been made and they thought she was someone else.
Wait, none of those words made any kind of sense.
No.
In sequence or otherwise.
She died by getting hit by a tractor trailer that was carrying ED medicine. She entered the afterlife. Michael said she was in a good place.
They should have just called it boned.
And then she said...
Spot.
Hey, I'm trying to explain this to you.
Move on. I don't All care right. about this show. It'll be canceled in a week.
Probably. All right, final one. Are you ready for this?
Because
it's all the new shows they have. Mickey, you're going to go.
Oh, I can leave now?
No.
Damn.
No. Door's locked. That's right. Seymour's... blocking it for us. That is Seymour, our executive
I thought his name
person.
Was Igor.
You're stupid. Well, you know what? This explains Mickey's answers. Better late than never. Can you figure out the fall premiere?
That's the name of the show, Better Late Than Never?
Yeah.
That's an awful name.
That's not an answer. Figure out the fall premiere.
When I finally show up to the show, it's better late than never.
All right. It's truth. All right. Crisco.
Better Late Than Never is about a woman who is trying to get pregnant. That's it. Better Late Than Never.
This is actually about when I quit this show.
Who's the winner?
The winner is... I don't even care anymore. Just...
And that was another fun edition of Figure Out the Fall Premieres.
I'll take the V.
Do you enjoy listening to A Freak Accident?
Yeah, sure.
Visit our website for even more. There's stuff and things and pictures. So visit AFreakAccident.com and make some more mistakes.
There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
How quaint to only have 57 channels.
That was back in a while ago.
I have like 2,500 nowadays.
And nothing's on, though. Still stays true.
Yeah, that hasn't changed.
No.
So this is a series of conspiracy theories. So, Mickey, this is right up your alley.
Fantastic.
From FlavorWire.com. 10 bizarre television conspiracy theories. Now, Mickey, you don't watch a lot of current TV, but have you watched a lot of TV over time, like over the span of your life? Like, you've seen classic shows and things like that, right?
Kind of.
Okay, so you're familiar. Have you ever seen The X-Files, anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you could probably get some of these anyway, the references. E, I know you watch a lot of television.
I think I watched a majority of the ones on this list.
Well, the first one up is Saved by the Bell.
Nope, didn't watch that.
You didn't watch that one.
That is a classic show.
I didn't watch it myself either.
Oh. I have the box set.
Really?
The box set.
The entire thing?
Well, except the Miss Bliss years, which technically isn't Saved by the Bell, but we won't
well,
get into that.
Well, that actually has something to do with this conspiracy theory.
All right.
The conspiracy theory for Saved by the Bell is that the entire show was a fantasy.
Of whose?
Okay. This one was put to the world by Logan Trent at Cracked.com. Zach Screech, Lisa, and Mr. Belding began as characters on the Disney Channel show Good Morning, Miss Bliss.
Yeah, I remember that.
On that series, set in a suburban Indiana middle school, Zach is a loser. He can't get girls, his friends Mikey and Nikki frequently humiliate him, and none of his schemes get past his wise teacher, Miss Bliss.
That was pretty much the running thing throughout the entire one
However,
season.
However, that show vanished after only 13 episodes. It reappeared as Saved by the Bell, where Zach was suddenly mega popular. He was a stud at a California high school, not the Midwest. His every scheme goes off without a hitch, and the ladies are his for the asking. And Mikey and Nikki
no longer even exist.
Ooh, he is a sick man.
The best proof is the theme song itself, a description of Real Zach's terrible life until he's saved by the bell. Thus, the song ends with Zach being released from the harsh realities of his own garbage life, where he can escape to the one place where everything is all right for him. That's the conspiracy theory.
So he's crazy.
Basically.
Oh my god, it's about a nutbag.
It's kind of like a, what was that one book, The Bridge to Terabithia, where like they made the kids made like a fantasy realm for them to go to escape their problems. Pan's Labyrinth is similar as well, if you've ever
Lion,
seen that
the Witch
movie.
The Wardrobe.
Yeah, sure. Yep. So, I mean, now, the thing is, it's not canon, because this is just a bunch of people speculating on nothing, because the show's over, and I'm pretty sure the writers probably never intended it to be this.
Or did they?
Well, we'll never know, will we? Are any of these writers still alive?
Yes.
Are they?
Yeah.
They didn't die in, like, cocaine-fueled, you know, parties?
I think Lorne Michaels played a part in it.
I said the writers.
Well, yeah, but he would know. He helped develop the show.
Yeah, maybe.
So,
yeah.
We're going to go email him.
The next theory. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, one of my favorites. One of my favorite shows.
Will Smith was dead the whole time.
What?
Okay.
All right.
What?
See what you think about this one, Mickey. Will Smith's beloved six-season sitcom was, in fact, entirely a dramatization of young Will's afterlife. The story goes that Will was actually killed in, or in some versions, committed suicide after, the basketball court fight in the theme song.
We'll play that real quick. We gotta...
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside
down. Oh my god.
Down, and I'd like to take a minute
this
just does sit
make
right
sense.
There. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air.
Okay, here it comes. Here's the part they're talking about. And now this is going to change the whole song.
Bam, bam, bam. In West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spend most of my days.
It didn't
chilling
start
out, maxed and relaxing out. Cool, this is just a bed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, wait, here.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spend most of my days. Chilling out, maxing out, finding out, cooling out, shooting some b-ball outside of school. And a couple of guys that were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. She said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in
Bel-Air. He's dead, apparently. Yeah, this is the whole song, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, how do they come to this conclusion?
Okay, it says, Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil's spacious Bel-Air mansion was heaven. His parents' occasional visits were merely trips to his grave.
Oh my god!
It's a stretch, yes, but there's one credible element. That the cabbie in the title song was God himself, which is about the only way you could fathom a cab willing to take a fare from Philly to Bel-Air.
That's a good point.
It's true.
How much was that fare?
Nothing. He was dead.
It cost him his life.
Ooh, that's really, really dark.
Morbid now that we know what we know about this show.
Now I can't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
What is Carlton, like, one of the, like, St. Peter?
Foiling his every attempt at happiness.
Yeah.
The next one is, The Man Couldn't Handle Jericho.
Oh, so Jericho, the show.
Yeah, did you ever watch that show, Mickey?
No.
All right, basically the premise of the show was that America was wiped out in a nuclear war.
Okay,
this one town, though, is secluded, and it wasn't caught in any of the blast radiuses.
Okay.
So these people are just, you know, living their lives, and one day they see a mushroom cloud on the horizon, and it's like, oh, well, that's not good. And then they lose communication with everything on the outside, and society breaks down, and refugees start flooding into the town.
So is this where they tested that music theory? And then it was a little discreet area.
Set during the aftermath of an America devastated by nuclear attack, much of the second season was spent following a reformed American government, the Allied States of America, and how the residents of Jericho rise up against this repressive, corrupt police state, possibly instigating a second American Civil War in the show. Now, the conspiracy theory says that the show's creators got a little too close to encouraging the Tea Party, which was a big thing at the time, the Tea Party protest. Remember that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where they were calling for another civil war and states to secede and everything else. That was a thing. The show got a little, was kind of giving people ammunition and kind of inciting people to want to be a Tea Partier. And so the government put the kibosh on the show because they didn't want any more uprisings from the Tea Party.
Oh, my God. That's actually creepy.
What do you think, Mickey? Is it true?
Well, I don't know if they were actually doing that, so would that actually be a conspiracy at that
point? I don't know if the government is that competent to actually pull, you know, be able to recognize a problem and then solve it immediately.
Yeah, yeah, there is that.
All right. Following along similar lines,
take my love, take my land,
everybody talks about this freaking show. It only had one season, and it was canceled. Firefly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I always hear they mention that on The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Everybody gets upset when they bring up this show. But the idea is the reason it only got one season is, again, because of the government. Because apparently on this show, you see the plot line, according to writer David Mark Brown, the plot line for Firefly is about a brown coat independent who fights for civil liberties in order to stick it to the man by encouraging a free trade economy based on bartering and simple living, and implemented by a diverse bipartisan crew of Federation outsiders.
Uh-oh.
The last thing either Democrats or Republicans on the Hill wanted in the go-go 2000s was fiscal responsibility and libertarian nonsense bundled up and marketed with the attractive face of Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion is an attractive man.
Yeah, they don't need. We don't need to be subliminally taught that, hey, free trade might be a good idea. Government shut it down.
Ooh, the government... they're killing TV shows.
This is influencing people to want to rebel against order and authority. This is not good. We must put a stop to it.
Oh, if they're the reason The Office went off the air, I'm going to be so mad.
Again, just conspiracy theories, Mickey. The next one is that Fox, the channel, predicted 9/11.
Oh, boy.
Oh, these are always interesting to hear.
A thread at IGN includes images from episodes of The Simpsons, along with a rundown of clues in films made before 9/11 as quote-unquote proof that ideas and imagery relating to the September 11th attacks had been subconsciously planted throughout popular culture.
Okay.
There is something admittedly unnerving, though, about the pilot episode of The Lone Gunman.
So this was the spinoff of X-Files.
It was. The Lone Gunman, okay? The pilot episode of that show featured a passenger airliner that is nearly flown into the World Trade Center. Oh! As part of a government conspiracy to start a war.
This was before 9/11.
Yes.
What? What? What?
Did they mention thermite paint at all in this show?
Oh my God!
Yeah. That's a little too close for comfort.
That's the first one that actually freaked me out. I don't know.
Maybe the terrorists saw this and thought it was a good idea.
Maybe that's what it was.
True, because they see shows like 5 million years later over there. So that might be it. They're like, huh.
That's like outer space. Like the aliens come down and the most near footage that they have is like World War II footage. And that's why they hate us. You just applied that to like the other side of planet Earth.
Some countries, like, they're seeing Seinfeld now.
They're still watching on reel-to-reel over there.
Not that far. I was exaggerating.
Okay. The next one is has to do with Saturday Night Live.
This is Saturday Night Live!
Yeah, this one says that Saturday Night Live got a little too close to something.
Okay.
Admittedly, this is interesting because this sketch, even in reruns, isn't included.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of
somebody
thing?
This guy one of the guys on the show did a bit called Conspiracy Theory Rock. It was kind of like a Schoolhouse Rock parody.
So this is those Funhouse TV things they did.
Yes,
those little animated things.
TV Funhouse.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah.
It aired on the show on March of 1998. The joke content was that GE, General Electric, was behind the JFK assassination. And had become the go-to screenshot, but the short's scathing and accurate portrait of corrupt media and political collusion presumably got SNL quite a bit of blowback from General Electric and then NBC's corporate overlords. The segment never aired again in repeats or syndication, although Michaels, the guy who was responsible for it, claimed that it disappeared because it wasn't funny. Which doesn't really make much sense. Why? Because there's plenty of unfunny crap that still plays in reruns and syndication.
Funny thing is, it does live online now.
Yeah, they still have it online.
Oh, yeah, you could find it.
The whole thing is the government put a shutdown. They said that can never air again because it was too close to the truth, Mickey.
Uh-huh.
General Electric killed the president.
Sure.
Because they wanted to sell more washing machines, I guess.
Well, they made planes and stuff, too.
General Electric did, yeah, that's true.
El Chapo.
And refrigerators. Americans need to chill their meat.
Americans need to chill.
Hey, is your refrigerator running?
Not anymore.
Neither is your president.
Yeah, oh, God.
Okay, Billy.
The next one involves Blue's Clues.
We gotta find a paw print. That's the first clue. We put it in a notebook, and now what do we do?
It mostly has to do with the host, Steve.
Oh, okay, yeah, the original host.
Steve Burns, yeah. He, the rumors were, I guess, that he had died in a car crash, was a former porn star, and the most famous rumor was that he'd been arrested for heroin possession and or had died of a heroin overdose.
I remember that because online they had a picture of him, a person that looked like him, in a mugshot, and it was pretty believable.
Well, he was on an episode of Law & Order playing a heroin addict, and people, I guess, said he played that part really well. It's almost like he knows firsthand what it's like.
Ooh.
There are a lot of rumors that have to do with, like, children's show hosts, though. Have you noticed that?
Because who's going to look them up?
Right.
Who knows where they go afterwards? Who cares?
Yeah. Well, he is very much alive. Some of these conspiracy theories say he's dead. He is very much alive, and he's on Twitter, and he's very sarcastic, too.
Fantastic.
Wouldn't you, after being on that show, and have to be squeaky clean for that long?
That's why they said he wore the long sleeve collared shirts, is because he wanted to cover up the heroin needle punctures on his arms.
Where my brain just shuts down when there's too many conspiracy theories.
Mickey, this is your stuff, though. This is... You're all about this,
right?
Yeah,
his wheelhouse.
Next one. Oh. This is like a weird rendition of the Walking Dead theme song. Basically, it says that the Walking Dead is Toy Story. It's the same premise.
I have heard this one before.
The sheriff is the hero. There's like a macho buddy, Buzz Lightyear. In the third one, there was like a prison escape kind of thing.
Okay, you could like equate that to any of like the cowboy movies from the 50s. Really? Seriously?
Conspiracy theory.
Why are people so dumb?
Don't ruin it. The last two actually are about the same show.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from the
Gilligan's Island.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Seinfeld.
No.
I'm joking.
Yeah. That doesn't sound anything like... The first one is that Gilligan's Island was about drug runners. It was secretly what it was about.
I guess you can make that
People
theory.
Point out the incongruity between the contents, voluminous amounts of clothing and supplies aboard the SS Minnow, and its stated mission, a three-hour tour. Writer Adam Troy Castro has more questions about that. Since the snobbish Howell can presumably afford to buy his own yachts, why would he be interested in a three-hour tour aboard a dinky little charter vessel owned by two ex-Navy men?
My question is to that guy.
Why
Castro?
Yeah, you're trying to just... yeah.
Divert.
Yeah. He's pivoting. What it's called in politics. He's pivoting. Anyway, he says, and why would he need to take a briefcase filled with $1,000 bills? When one of the perks associated with great wealth is unlimited credit. Castro's conclusion, Howell chartered the Minnow to make a multi-million dollar drug buy. He paid off Gilligan and the skipper, too. He brought along the necessary cash. He even brought along an extensive wardrobe just in case the Coast Guard showed up and he had to leave U.S. territory in a hurry. He also brought along a mysterious professor and his supply of Bunsen burners and a coked-up Hollywood starlet. But they kept their cover stories for the benefit of the one innocent bystander, Marianne, who Castro says was an undercover Fed keeping tabs on the whole operation.
Ah, yes, Gilligan. Give me my heroin. I wish that line happened.
I like the last one, though. Gilligan's Island, they were in hell the whole time.
This one I knew. Yeah. This one I actually heard about, and it's crazy.
It sounds like Lost. Remember, like, everybody argued that Lost, they were in purgatory the whole time? Like, that was the joke where they were in hell?
Hear this.
Kind of goes right along with it. The Uncharted Desert Isle is, in fact, hell. Each of its inhabitants represent one of the seven deadly sins. Lusty Ginger, Marianne, envious of Ginger's beauty, the greedy Mr. Howell and his slothful wife.
And his drugs.
The prideful professor who can't admit that he's still too stupid to fix the freaking boat, but he can build a telephone made out of coconuts. And the gluttonous, wrathful skipper, which just leaves Gilligan. Who put them there in the first place? Gilligan, always wearing red. Like Satan.
The devil!
Mickey, do you believe any of these? You buy into any of this stuff?
No.
Last one.
That's it.
Absolutely. Because I could see creators kind of making that the basis. Like, kind of like, okay, this is where we got the idea. Maybe not making the show about it, but it really kind of follows in suit.
I hate dumb people.
Do you realize what would happen if you missed an episode of A Freak Accident? Well, probably nothing. But knowing us, you really don't want to risk finding out.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Let's not waste any time and get right into what we're here to talk about.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow.
Suicide Squad is out now. Finally hit theaters. Was heavily anticipated. Not well received by critics.
Oh, not at all. Got hammered.
But it did still set a box office record for largest August opening of all time, actually beating out Guardians of the Galaxy, too.
Really?
$135.1 million in its opening weekend. So that is impressive. Now, Lazy E, I, and Mickey all went to see this movie.
That shocks me more than anything.
And, of course, the critics did not give it a good review. I kept an open mind, tried to go. First of all, before I give my thoughts, what did you guys think? Mickey, what did you think?
Well, as Murderer and I say, seeing as we don't follow comic book characters and we know nothing about it, just looking at it as an actual movie, it wasn't bad.
Ah, there you go. See? It was, let's put it this way, not perfect, right? But not the stain on existence that some of these critics are painting it as.
Right. I think our biggest problem with it was the love story that was knit in between the whole thing that didn't need to be there.
I don't know. I think it needed to be there.
No, it didn't. No.
I don't know.
Are you talking about the love story between
Joker and Harley Quinn?
Okay, that one. Because there were a couple love stories in there.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think the love story needed to be in there because he wasn't in love with her. He was using her.
Well, yeah, obviously.
That's the whole idea. He's the conscience in her head, the devil to the angel that she used to be.
And it was kind of interesting because it put a spotlight on Harley's dependency problems because of the whole thing. She was all about, you see how she attached herself to the Suicide Squad. This is my family. These are my friends. And then the moment he comes along, she ditches them for him. And then when everybody thinks, well, I don't want to get into spoilers necessarily, but she ends up back with, you know what I mean? It's like she's torn between two worlds.
Yeah,
kind of.
But I still don't think it needed to be there.
I mean, I could see why you would think not. I mean, one of the biggest complaints about the movie was that the Joker wasn't in it enough. I would argue he was in it enough to serve the purpose that he needed to serve in the context of this film, because if he was in it anymore, it would have become a Joker movie.
Right.
You know, and that's not what we were going to see.
And if you were disappointed by that, go pick it up when it goes on DVD. Apparently, his parts were left on the cutting floor, and they're going to be added in the director's edition. He's in a lot.
Are they going to do a director's edition? Because I thought they said they weren't.
I heard they may now.
Well, maybe they will. Because, I mean, the Batman versus Superman director's cut is getting rave reviews. People are saying that it improves the movie almost 200%.
I think the reason why they're considering it now is because of how many people said they wanted more Joker.
Yeah, maybe.
Although I would leave it as a teaser for the next one.
They'll do it just to make money off of it, probably.
Of course they will.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought the acting was great. And the actors that they got, I mean, Margot Robbie was awesome as Harley Quinn. I thought Jared Leto did a great job as the Joker.
Will Smith.
Will Smith was incredible in this.
I've never seen him play a part like that before. Ever.
He was just kind of he was a bad guy. He played a bad guy.
Yeah, well, Deadshot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He played the bad guy, but then I love how they brought in his daughter, and it showed a different side of him. He has a caring side.
Sympathetic.
Yeah, he was ruined by society, almost like.
I loved Amanda Waller, too. Viola Davis. She was right off the comic book page.
Yeah.
Right out of the cartoon. Like, that was a match made in heaven in that role. She was awesome in that. And that's another thing I'll point out, too. Everybody's saying, oh, well, Enchantress, who, this will be a spoiler, whatever, she ends up being the villain. You've heard about that already, I'm sure. People say, oh, she was a terrible villain. She was, like, of no consequence. She wasn't the villain. Amanda Waller was the villain. Enchantress was just a consequence of Amanda Waller's action, because that's a classic thing with her, is she's very cold and ruthless and, you know, intelligent. She's all about control, and she always tries to control everything, and she tries to be the puppet master, but she always ends up reaching too far and it blows up in her face, which is exactly what happened here. She was really the villain of the whole thing.
Yeah, Enchantress was just the person who carried out her duties.
Well, yeah.
The effect of her
relationship with the Suicide Squad, with the world, etc. I mean, I thought it was a good movie. I liked it. I mean, I would if, again, just because we don't really have anything else to compare it to, putting it in terms of the Marvel movies, I'd probably rate it like firmly in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't spectacular, but it wasn't bad either. It was a good movie. I'd rate it in there among like your first Captain America, your Iron Man 2, yeah. Thor the Dark World. I'd keep it in there. You know what I mean?
It's
I
wouldn't... a building story.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I thought Jared Leto was great as the Joker. People complain about that. I thought he was fine.
He was the perfect mix of the first movie and Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
He was a nice mix of the joking he was and the serious.
He was a blend. It was good. And everybody looking for Heath Ledger part two. I don't know if you're aware of this or not. He's dead.
Yeah.
He's not coming back to do it again. And it would be kind of... it wouldn't really be proper or considerate to try and just duplicate Heath Ledger.
I thought you were going to say bring back the dead. It wouldn't be.
My whole thing was, like I said, Murder and I have never read into the comic book characters, but I always see these memes on Facebook. I want to love like Harley Quinn and Joker. Now that I've actually seen this, I'm like, you people are really dumb.
Or sick.
Yeah.
Or that.
A lot of S&M going on the internet.
Why do you think 50 Shades of Grey was so popular?
Yeah. No, that makes sense now. Okay.
So what would we rate? I mean, like I said, I thought it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I had fun. You enjoyed it too, E?
I'd give it a 3.
There you go.
It was good.
I'm saying 2.5.
2.5. So you're going right
in the middle.
Flat down the middle.
Yep.
I would actually probably rate it like a 3.5 myself.
Yeah.
3.5. Maybe kind of leading toward 4, but I'd sit happily at 3.5.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a good movie. And I think it was way better than the reviews. This is now 2 DC movies in a row that got bad critical reviews that I thought were actually much better than what the reviews seem to suggest.
Conspiracy.
That's what some people say. There's a conspiracy. There's an anti-DC agenda. I can kind of believe it, though. 2 movies in a row.
I'm so over it.
Let's see what happens with Wonder Woman, though. That's next.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic if they rate that bad.
I don't think they will, just because of the fact that it's the first ever female hero on screen.
Yeah.
You're more the people who want to empower women and things like that are going to give it a good review just for that reason alone.
Much like they did with Ghostbusters.
Right, which incidentally is what we're going into now.
Turn it off. Kill it. Kill it.
That's it.
Kill it.
I hate that song. I hate the redone version of that song, the remix, whatever it is, by Fall Out Boy. That movie tanked.
Yeah, 46 million opening weekend or something like that.
Yeah, well, we talked about that here on the podcast, and I said no other movie that has ever made below $50 million in its opening weekend was considered a roaring success like this one was. And it's because most people wanted it to succeed. But then people started realizing, hey, it's actually not a good movie.
No.
And the worst thing I've heard about it is it's not funny.
Great.
It's not funny at all. And it's weird, and it misses, people have said it misses the spirit of Ghostbusters, which the original Ghostbusters, it was 4 schlubby guys who were basically exterminators, only in a fantastical sort of setting. This, like, they make them into action heroes at the end, where they're running around blasting buildings apart and everything. It's like, that wasn't what the Ghostbusters were about.
They were average
scientists.
Average
guys who were way out of their element.
Yeah.
And that's not what this was. This one's like, apparently, so it missed the spirit, people are saying, and now it's lost a ton of money. And any plans, there were originally plans for a sequel, I guess, dashed. It looks now like Sony is going to be short about $70 million after this.
That's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you get for ruining a perfect movie and trying to reboot a franchise that didn't need it.
You might want to stock up on that Ecto Cooler.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not going to be around for long
They're
now.
They're still planning on working with the franchise. They're going to release like an animated movie, probably like a direct-to-DVD kind of thing. But, I mean, they're not going to try this again. After the money that they blew on marketing alone, I think they basically doubled their production budget just in marketing.
Yeah.
And like I said, they stand to lose $70 million.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, hey, guess what? The other thing, too, was they stirred up controversy about the whole sexism thing that I still maintain didn't actually exist except in a small, you know, very, very minuscule group of people.
Yeah.
It's like you tried to turn that into the whole reason for the movie's existence, and you made it all about the controversy.
Yeah.
And then people didn't want to get involved. Oh, well,
you
know, when your existence is based on controversy, that's what's going to happen to you. And the only other thing I'm going to talk about in the movie segment is the trailer came out finally after waiting for years, Bad Santa 2.
Never saw the first one.
Did you ever see the first one?
Yes, I've seen the first one.
It is amazing. It's one of my favorite holiday movies. I watch it every Christmas season just because it's awesome, and I'm so glad that they're making a second one. And the trailer, we will post it at afreakaccident.com.
Yes.
Is very, well, it's a lot like the first one. I'm definitely getting similar vibes, which is don't reinvent the wheel. Just do what made the first one funny. Just do more of what made the first one funny. Don't redo the first one necessarily, it looks hysterical.
Hopefully it is.
I hope it is too. And I know you're excited about Sausage Party.
Oh, absolutely.
How many parents do you think are going to take kids to see that movie thinking it's going to be like a cartoon like Minions?
Too many.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't wait. I want to be at that theater.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the show. Mickey, what do the listeners need to do?
You can find us at afreakaccident.com. You can click connect on the menu bar and check out all of our social media pages. And you can go to iTunes. And I lost my train of thought again.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Well, You're going so good.
Mickey, what happens at iTunes? It's the same thing all the time.
You can download our podcast.
Yeah, you can subscribe. Yeah, which you get the podcasts automatically delivered to you every week.
Review us. Do whatever you can.
Leave a good review. That'd be nice. Help us climb the charts a little bit. And don't forget to Google Play Music on Android devices and also wherever podcasts are downloaded. Right?
Wherever. With the hands. Spirit hands.
And don't forget, send us an email, too.
Freaks@afreakaccident.com.
Do it. Leave your address in the email, and we will send you a free sticker.
Ooh, a sticker.
Stickers.
Completely free of charge. We'll even pay postage out of pocket.
Unless you live too far away, then you're not getting a sticker.
With the dust that, you know, I pull out my pocket, and it's like just a fly flies out, you know, like the old cartoons. Yeah. Don't worry. I'll find a way to pay postage to get you your
donations,
thing.
Too. Freaks@freakaccident.com.
You will also get a sticker.
We will gladly accept bank account wires. That would be just fine. Yes. And we will still throw you a sticker. Next week on the show, we are going to have a look at 54 things everyone should know how to do.
Uh-oh.
We're all going to fail.
We're going to see how completely incompetent the three of us are. We are also going to have a guest on the show.
This is
going to
be good.
I'm very excited about this one. Greg Grumberg.
Yay.
He was Matt Parkman on Heroes. He was Snap Wexley in Star Wars. He had a part in Star Trek Beyond. And he's co-hosting a new show on AMC alongside Kevin Smith called Geeking Out. So we will be talking to him here on this very show about all the stuff going on in Gregland. Which is what I'm going to call it.
Gregland. G-Land.
There you go.
G-Land.
Or in the G-spot.
Ugh.
To go off of Mickey's joke from earlier.
No, is not where that joke is.
I shouldn't have dredged that one back up.
What's wrong with you?
No.
Don't be afraid to come back, though. You wouldn't want to miss that stuff and more next week on A Freak Accident. Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this week. We'll see you again soon. For A Freak Accident, my name is Crisco.
I'm Lazy E.
I'm Mickey, and we're reminding you
that some things in life are a given.
Until there's a freak accident.
Now this is a story all about how
party's over, dude.
Now I bring you the worst news ever. The show is over.
No!
But if you're the kind of person who doesn't learn from their mistakes, A Freak Accident will be back with an all-new episode next week.
Thou shalt not miss it.
A Freak Accident is a Solar Flare Media production, all rights reserved. Thanks for listening.